Well, let's open our Bibles. I kind of want to hook up where we were last week on the high priest of our confession, talking about Jesus. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, talking about Jesus. And in the King James Version, it says, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." And this word, profession, actually means confession or profession. It says what one professes or confesses. But the word, the Greek word is homologia, and it actually comes from the root word homologeo, which that particular word that it comes from means to say the same thing as another or to agree with. So this is saying here, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. This word here means to profess or to declare. So we've declared or professed Jesus as our Savior, but now the high priest of our confession really implies that we're to say the same thing as what the Bible says about us. And that's really what this is getting at, that we're to say the same thing. We're to affirm, and I read this from an excerpt last week. I read this from F.F. Bosworth, which is a book on called Christ the Healer. And this word confession, or you could say profession, it means to believe and say what God says about our sins, our sicknesses, and everything else included in our redemption. So Christ died, he redeemed us. As the scripture in Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Well, what was the law? You go back over into the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, and you look at chapter 28, and the first 14 verses talk about the blessings of the law. And the rest of that chapter in Deuteronomy 28, from verses 15 till I think it's 68 or 69 verses in there, the rest of those verses tell you about the curse of the law, right? So this is what this is saying here, that we're to believe what God says about us, what's been included in our redemptive, or in our redemption. This is what F.F. Bosworth said. He said, confession is an affirmation of a Bible truth we have embraced. Well, that would be faith. Faith believes something that God has spoken in his word or inspired the writers to write, that I believe that. And so confession is affirming or professing or agreeing with a Bible truth that we've embraced. That's what that's saying, that I'm agreeing with, I'm, as this says here, I'm saying the same thing that the Bible says about me. I've embraced that. If the scripture says Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, or 1 Peter 2:24 says that who himself bore my sins in his own body on the tree, that me being dead, he being dead to sin, I should live unto righteousness, what? By whose stripes I have been healed, then if I have been healed, then I am healed. I'm going to affirm that. I'm agreeing with a Bible truth. That's what we're really saying, that I'm professing or confessing or affirming what the Bible says about me. And that's what Bible faith is. That's what confession is. It says here, this is what he said, confession is simply believing with our hearts and repeating with our lips God's own declaration of what we are in Christ. That's what Bible confession is. Confession is simply believing with our hearts and repeating with our mouths or with our lips God's own declaration of what we are in Christ. So as he continues, he said here, this statement, confession is faith's way of expressing itself. What does that mean? Well, if we wanted to know what faith is, you could go over and look at Mark 11, 22 and 23, when Jesus cursed the fig tree, and the next day, 24 hours later, they're walking by the tree, and I believe it was, who was it, Peter? Peter said to him, Master, look at the tree you cursed. And then he said, what did he say? Have faith, and the margin says, some translations say, have the faith of God. And then Jesus went on in verse 23 and said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, so he's talking about saying something, be thou removed, and be thou what? Cast into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt in your heart, that's believing. Shall not doubt in their heart, but what? Believe that whatsoever you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you sayeth, or whatsoever you say. So confession really is an action, but it's faith's way of expressing itself. What does that mean? Something I've believed in my heart, I'm affirming. Same thing what we're saying, confession or affirming. This is what he said. Confession is simply believing in our hearts and repeating with our lips God's own declaration of what we are in Christ. Well, Jesus declared, it would have been a perfect time for him to say, only I can do that. Because it would have been a perfect time. He didn't say that, did he? He said, have faith in God, whosoever. So that right there gave us the authority right there. That eternal word gave everyone. What does it say? Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. If he said whosoever then, whosoever applies today. So that means whosoever today shall speak to a mountain. That's why I like Mark Hankins says, never face your mountain with your mouth closed. He said, never face an obstacle, never face a trial or a tribulation with your mouth closed. That's what Jesus said. Whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed. So Jesus gave us the right, or the scriptural right, the authority, you could say, to speak to things and command them to leave and change by faith. And how does faith, because he was talking about in verse 22, he was saying, have the faith of God. So now he's talking about faith, but faith, he talked about faith that prays and believes, and faith that speaks and believes, or believes and speaks. So here we have faith's expression is speaking, believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth, right? But speaking a Bible truth, speaking and affirming something that God has spoken, that God has settled in our redemptive package. This was the revelation that John Alexander Dowie received. He said, wait a minute. God's not doing this. This has been paid for. You leave in the name of Jesus. And that, what happened? Revelation came in where? His heart. His heart. It wasn't head knowledge. It was heart. The physician said, calm down, sir. You're just excited. He said, no, I'm not excited. I'm full of faith And now I'm going to speak to this disease and command it to go. And what happened? It did go. They were healed of something that was not curable. So if that can happen then, that can happen today. And so it doesn't mean there's some special person. We're all special in God's eyes. We're all anointed and authorized to do what? Lay hands on the sick and command sickness to leave and change, right? Hallelujah. That's exciting to me. So this scriptural basis that we look at here in Romans chapter 10, let's look at this verses 8, 9, and 10. And we're just going back over this again to touch on this, which I think is important. It says, but what saith it? The word is what? Is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and where? And in thy heart. So the word of God has got to get in your heart, and when it's in your heart, revelation is there, it's going to come out of your mouth. It's going to come out of your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and do what? And shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the what? The mouth confession is made unto salvation. So this is what secured our eternal life. We believed in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and that, what else? It said here, he raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. Or it said, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And you believe in your heart that he raised him from the dead. If you believe that in your heart and confess it with your mouth, it says you're delivered, you're saved, you're set free, you're redeemed and healed. All in one package. Because that's what that means. That word salvation, confession is made unto salvation, is this word, Greek word soteria, which actually means preservation, safety, salvation. It means health. So what does that mean? We're to confess the same thing that he says about us. That's what that word means. And how do we make that profession of faith, or profession? It's by faith, because even this, what did he say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart. That is what? The word of faith. Hallelujah. So you can see, just like, and this is what we were sharing last week, that the word of God must be in your heart and then spoken before you're going to see the results of something. And that's no different. Salvation, you weren't saved and then said, well, let me believe if I'm saved. Well, why would you need, you know, as Charles Capps used to say, why do you need belief for something you already have? Why do you need to believe that the lights are on when they're already on? Why do you need to believe for something? If you already have it, you know you have it. So why do I need to believe for something? Faith is what? Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So faith is something that I believe for that I don't have yet. So I need to exercise faith. And this is one of the things I'm just sharing this morning. I kept hearing this in my heart this morning. Faith, and then there's what? You've got to keep faith active. Keep faith active. Keep faith active. How do we keep faith active? Or Brother Hagin used to say it, keep the switch of faith turned on. That's another way of saying it. But how do I keep my faith active? You know, you hear people say, well, I'm just believing. That sounds good. And I'm not here to question whether they are or they're not. But one way we know that they are in faith or they have their faith active is by what they say. Because they can say, I'm believing, but then say something different and they cause their faith not to work. Right? So this is what we're trying to point out here, and it's very important when it comes to health in our bodies, because we've got to believe that what Jesus said is so. What is a confession? Saying the same thing as. If he said I'm healed, then I am healed. It does not mean, some people get tripped up with this, it does not mean that you don't get professional advice if you need it. But just like, see, remember, just like when I read this story by John Alexander Dowie, the physician did everything they could do. They had no cure. He did everything and said, well, let God's will be done. He said, no, God said that we are healed. And he had faith in his heart. And he came and he spoke to the sickness and laid hands on it, and they were healed. So medical science may bring us as far as they can. But then beyond that, we have a God who redeemed us from sickness and disease. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And he's given us what? His word. And we're to say the same thing as his word says. Hallelujah. And that's what causes faith to stay active. Even in the hardest times, even, you know, what I've noticed that, and of course you could all affirm this, that sometimes when your body doesn't feel good, sometimes you begin to question. You may question, you may say, And it's not just a week goes by, it's 3 weeks go by, it's 4 weeks go by, it's a month goes by, it's 6 months goes by, 8 months goes by, a year goes by, and you begin to get in the flesh and in your mind, in your thinking, you get what? Discouraged, you get weary. That's could be a natural thing. And so we're to do what? Even in the face of that, keep your faith active. Does not mean that you should not seek medical advice, but I can tell you when medical advice says there's nothing else we can do, we've got a God that can do something. Because what does the scripture say? All things are possible to him who believes. Hallelujah. So there's no, you could say it this way, there's no salvation, there's no redemption without believing and confessing or saying with your mouth. And there's no healing in the body without believing and affirming with your mouth. You've got to say with your mouth what God says. And what I'm saying, what I believe, is what he says, right? This is something Mark Hankins had shared in one of his books. I thought it was a good statement. He said, the word of God was spoken before it was written. And he said, the word of God is written so that it is to be spoken. Now, that's a good revelation. The word of God was spoken before it was written. And he goes on to say, and it was written so it could be spoken. I mean, when you think about it, God spoke the word, spoke things into existence. So it was spoken before it was written. He spoke, and the writers, all of your apostles, heard and penned. So it was spoken before it was written, and then it was written to be spoken. This is a scripture. We having the same, 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and do what? Therefore speak. We speak. Hallelujah. So we could say there's no healing without faith in God's word and confessing it or saying it. There's no healing. Healing doesn't come first, and then you begin to believe and confess. No, you read, you embrace the word of God, you affirm what God has said, you have faith and affirm it by your lips, your confession, and then healing comes in the natural. I mean, you have it in your heart, but before you see it. Hallelujah. This is something that E.W. Kenyon wrote. I thought these were good little statements in Revelation. He said, continual affirmation or affirming something, continual confession or affirmation, the way he wrote it. He said, continual affirmation has infinite value. Continual affirmation has infinite value. Our spiritual life depends upon our constantly affirming what God has declared. So he's saying here, our spiritual life depends upon our constantly affirming what God has declared, what God is in Christ, and what we are before the Father in Christ. So just, you know, I just went through and I said, well, let me just pull out a few scriptures here. When we talk about affirming what God has declared and what God is in Christ, that's what we're to constantly affirm. Just look at these scriptures. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he, God, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is what God said about what? It said what he is in Christ. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:19. It says, to wit, that God was what? In Christ, reconciling the world. So we're to affirm that. We're to affirm what God is in Christ. He was in Christ reconciling the world, not imputing or holding their trespasses against them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Listen to this. This is the Good News Translation. This is a familiar scripture in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But God has brought you into union with Christ, and God has made Christ to be our wisdom. Oh boy, that's good. He's made him to be our wisdom. By him, we are put right with God and become God's holy people and are set free. So we're to affirm that. We're to affirm. When I lack wisdom, I say, no, God, Christ is my wisdom. He set me free. I have access to you, God, through Christ, and I thank you for it. We're to affirm those things, even when our feelings don't feel like it. He's there, and we're to affirm. What does that mean? If faith, just think about this. When Alexander Dowie, when faith and revelation came, or revelation came, he began to do what? Act upon the word of God. Well, it's no different here. That as we affirm the word of God, it causes God to operate and give us the wisdom that we're looking for. When we begin to say, you are my wisdom, I will know what to do in this situation. And that gives God the right to now move on your behalf and give you the wisdom to know what to do. Instead of you saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know. You know how people do this? I don't know. I heard one minister say, well, if you say so. If you say you don't know, well, then you won't know. Our faith will be effective only as we confess with our mouth all the good things that are in Christ. This is something that, of course, we wouldn't know this because we weren't alive at this time. But E.W. Kenyon wrote this little excerpt in his book, in this one book here. He said, "The thing that made Methodism so mighty in its early days was a continual confession of the things which Mr. Wesley stood," or you could say taught. "When they stopped affirming, faith stopped growing, and believing or acting upon the word became more and more difficult." That's a pretty powerful statement. So he said, what made the Methodists so strong in the early days was the teaching that they got from John Wesley and them affirming it. And they said, that's what made that movement so mighty. Well, you heard about, I mean, we can go back and read during those early revival days, you heard about the Methodist tent meetings and the power of God falling in. Why? Because he said, what made it so mighty in its early days was a continual confession or an affirmation of things which Mr. Wesley stood. When they stopped affirming, faith stopped growing. Boy, that's a powerful statement right there. And believing or acting upon the word became more and more difficult. So that ought to be a clue for us, right? That we need to do what? Mix faith with what we're reading and begin to affirm, begin to say, begin to act upon the word of God. Keep speaking the word. Keep speaking the word. Keep speaking it. Keep affirming it. Causes faith to operate. Releases faith. This, what do we say? Confession is faith's expression, right? Faith expresses itself with what? Our lips, our confession. What we believe is what you're going to speak. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go over there and look at that for a moment. Hebrews chapter 4. And let's look at verses 12 through 14, Hebrews chapter 4, and verses 12, 13, and 14. It says, "For the word of God is what? Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And is what? A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest," is what we were reading in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is what? Passed into the heavens." Who was that? Jesus, the Son of God. "Let us hold fast." What? Our profession. That's exactly what it said in Hebrews chapter 3. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of a holy calling, consider the apostle and high priest of what? Our profession." So this is saying here, let us hold fast our profession, right? Hallelujah. The Amplified, it says here, it says, "Let us hold fast our confession of faith in him." Let us hold fast our confession of faith in him. So we're to hold fast our confession of what? Of what Christ has done for us. What he's done for us. in order, so what? That it may be done in us. So we have to hold fast our confession of faith of what he's done for us so that it'll be done in us. That's what causes God to move and operate. So to walk with God, you know, we talk about Enoch walked with God. To walk with God, we must be in agreement with God. There's another way of saying it. You agree with his word. You're going to confess because you agree with something, holding to or affirming to a Bible truth that God has spoken, right? Amos 3:3 in the Old Testament. Can two walk together except they be agreed? How do we agree with God? By saying what he says. We have to say what God says. Listen to Malachi. This is the last book in the Old Testament, just before Matthew. Malachi chapter 3. And verse 13 and 14. See, we don't want to be in this position. But Malachi chapter 3, the last book in the Old Testament, and verse 13, it says, your words have been stout against me. We don't talk like that anymore. Somebody might think something else. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you see, you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You know, that I think that word means hard or harsh. And it said here, 14, verse 14, it said, you have said, it is vain to see, this is what they said. God is saying, you have said, it is vain to serve God. See, I've heard that today. I've heard that today. It ain't worth serving God. What's in it? You know, what's in that? I don't see nothing. That's pretty stout stuff to say. Thank God for his mercy. But he said, you have said, it is vain to serve God. And what else? And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? Ouch. Ooh. And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. Ooh, man, that is stout, isn't it? But that's why we have these teachings, so that when we get into those situations, we do what? What does Philippians 4:6 say? Be careful for nothing or be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with what? With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, just reading this scripture again in verse 12, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, it says that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom in glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Why? Because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which does what? Which effectually worketh also in you that what? That believe. So how does it work effectually in them? It's working effectually in them because they believed. And they received it not as the word of men, but as the word of God. Hallelujah. And you don't have to turn there, but Hebrews 4:2, it says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So when you don't receive it, then you're basically saying I'm not affirming to or holding to a Bible truth, and I'm not affirming to it, I'm not embracing it, I'm not mixing faith with it, so you're not going to benefit. So that means you're not going to benefit from healing. You're not going to benefit from all the provisions that Christ has died for us. So that means if you don't hold to a Bible truth for salvation, if you don't confess and believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you don't believe that God raised him from the dead and affirm that, well, then the scripture says you'll be damned. That's just the way it is. It says that you will die and go to hell. It won't benefit you, even though it says God was in Christ reconciling the whole world. Every man that was ever born will be born, and born in the future has been bought and paid for. Their sins have been bought and paid for. Oh my God. So there's nothing that man can do. They can't sin enough to miss heaven. It's already been paid for. Every sin that man could, the most vile sin, murder, rape, anything you could think of, the most vile thing, it's been paid for. And Jesus paid that price. You know, I mean, people always talk about all these people in other countries that are so evil, right? Well, people aren't evil. The devil's evil. And he will work through people. So that's why people say, oh, they're an evil person. No, they're not an evil person. But they've become that because they've done what? They've yielded to an evil spirit who's now operating through them in an evil way. But if their heart gets changed, they become a brand new person. We see that all the time in prisons. David Berkowitz, he murdered how many people? And he said, no, I'm saved. I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I've heard him say it. And so, yeah, he's paying society's debt, a debt, because he killed people, but he's not going to miss heaven. He's not missing heaven because he's been redeemed, right? But he had to do what? He had to mix faith with Jesus paid that for you. You don't have to go to hell. And Jesus has paid for our sicknesses. So that means every sickness, some that we know of, some that will show up, and they're like, we have no cure for this. Jesus paid for it. He paid for that. And we don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. Right? Hallelujah. So Hebrews, let's look at a few scriptures before we close here. Hebrews 10:23. Says, let us, that's some instruction right there. Let us do what? Hold fast the profession of our faith without what? Without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. That's why we're not to waver. He's faithful that promised. He'll do it. Let's look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. Titus chapter 3. In verse 8, it says, this is a faithful saying, and these things, what does he say here now? I will that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. What would be good works? Keeping a good confession, keeping your lips right, keeping your speech right. These things are good and profitable unto men. Now let's look at one last scripture here. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 18 and verses 20 and 21. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 20 and 21. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the what? Fruit of his what? His mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. So when he says a man's belly shall be satisfied, he's not talking about your natural stomach here. He's talking about your spirit man. He's saying here, a man's belly shall be satisfied with what? The fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Now, what does verse 21 say? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So, when that means they that love it, that means death or life. That's either or. If you love that, you're going to eat. It says you'll eat the fruit thereof. So we need to do what? Constantly affirm life-filled words. What did Jesus say? I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. What did he also say in John? He said, my words are spirit and life. So his words are life. So if we want to eat the fruit thereof, we need to speak words of life. What words are those? His words. Affirm constantly, profess, agree with, speak what he has said. And we'll do what? We'll eat the fruit thereof. We'll have life flowing through us. Life constantly working. That's why I say it's a good idea. You get up, you know, however often you say it. Get up, you know, when you wink your eyes open in the morning and you don't feel like it, just open your eyes up and say, bless the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. From the rising of the sun to the going of down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. My body is fearfully and wonderfully made. You begin to say what God has said. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. What does the scripture also say? Let the weak say, I am strong. You begin to say those things. That's why, you know, just as we close, I know that was the last scripture, but let's look at one more scripture in Ephesians chapter 5 in the New Testament. Let's look at this, Ephesians chapter 5, and I believe it's verse 18. Let me just get over there quickly. Yeah, 18, 19, and 20. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, you may stop there and somebody might say, well, how do I do that? Well, he's going to tell you right here in verse 19. He's going to tell you how to be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here, you know, death and life is in the power of the tongue. You're going to be filled with life, filled with the Spirit by speaking psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Well, that can be speaking those things that God has said about my body, said about me, said about my redemption, said about me and who he is in Christ and what he's done in me and for me. And we can do that in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. And I'll tell you, lift your heart, lift your spirit. Revelation comes That's how faith comes. As you begin to do that, you'll begin to do what? See things. It'll do what? It'll invigorate. It'll stir your heart up so that what? You'll stand up against some things. Amen. We don't just want to be filled with the Spirit when things are going good. That's great, but I'll tell you, you need to be filled with the Spirit all the time, and what? Most importantly, when things are going good. Praying in the Spirit, singing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody. Well, this surely isn't a time I want to sing and happy ha ha ha. No, that's the time he said, making melody in your heart. That's why when you hear these men and women say, right in the face of things, trouble, they begin to laugh and laugh at the problem because they know in their heart that greater is he that's inside of them than he that's in the world. Greater. I'm an overcomer, giving thanks unto God who giveth us the victory through Christ. Hallelujah. Always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always, always, always. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God. Father, we thank you that our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. We thank you that every tissue, every organ, every cell of our body functions in the perfection that you made it to function in. We thank you, Father, that you've redeemed us from the curse of the law. We forbid sickness and disease in our bodies. And we decree that every disease, every germ, every virus that touches our body dies instantly in the name of Jesus. We thank you that we're the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, and he is quickening my mortal body. He's strengthening me in the name of Jesus. And we affirm these things, Father. We thank you that these truths, these Bible truths, we hold dear to our hearts, and we decree that these have been bought and paid for with the shed blood of Jesus. And we thank you for it. Thank you for doing this for us, Father. For when we were yet sinners, you died for us. And we're so grateful for it. And we give you thanks this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.